Buck, who had always been close to my family. He was the one we called on when we needed a healing spell, that sort of thing. He'd found out that Luke had become the leader of a pack of werewolves in the Brosselin Forest by the eastern border. I burned the note once I got it. I knew Valentine could never know. But it wasn't until I went to the werewolf encampment and saw Luke that I knew for certain that Valentine had lied to me. Lied to me about Luke's suicide. It was then that I started to truly hate him.
But Luke said you knew there was something wrong with Valentine, that you knew he was doing something terrible. He said you knew it even before he was changed.
For a moment, Jocelyn didn't reply. You know, Luke should never have been bitten. It shouldn't have happened. It was a routine patrol of the woods. He was out with Valentine. It shouldn't have happened.
Mom?
Luke says I told him I was afraid of Valentine even before he was changed. He says I told him I could hear screams through the walls of the manor, that I suspected something, dreaded something. And Luke, trusting Luke, asked Valentine about it the very next day. That night, Valentine took Luke hunting and he was bitten. I think Valentine made me forget what I'd seen, whatever had made me afraid. He made me believe it was all bad dreams. And I think he made sure Luke got bitten that night. I think he wanted Luke out of the way so no one could remind me that I was afraid of my husband. But I didn't realize that, not right away. Luke and I saw each other so briefly that first day, and I wanted so badly to tell him about Jonathan, but I couldn't. I couldn't. Jonathan was my son. Still, seeing Luke, even just seeing him, made me stronger. I went home telling myself that I would make a new effort with Jonathan, would learn to love him, would make myself love him. That night, I was woken by the sound of a baby crying. I sat bolt upright, alone in the bedroom. Valentine was out at a circle meeting, so I had no one to share my amazement with. Jonathan, you see, never cried, never made a noise. His silence was one of the things that most upset me about him. I dashed down the hall to his room, but he was sleeping silently. Still, I could hear a baby crying. I was sure of it. I raced down the stairs, following the sound of the crying. It seemed to be coming from inside the empty wine cellar, but the door was locked, the cellar never used. But I had grown up in the manor. I knew where my father hid the key. Jocelyn didn't look at Clary as she spoke. She seemed lost in the story, in her memories. I never told you the story of Bluebeard's wife, did I, when you were a little girl? The husband told his wife never to look in the locked room, and she looked and found the remains of all the wives he'd had murdered before her, displayed like butterflies in a glass case. I had no idea when I unlocked that door what I would find inside. If I had to do it again, would I be able to bring myself to open the door, to use my witchlight to guide me down into the darkness? I don't know, Clary. I just don't know. The smell. Ugh, the smell down there. Like blood and death and rot. Valentine had hollowed out a place under the ground in what had once been the wine cellar. It wasn't a child I had heard crying after all. There were cells down there now, with things imprisoned in them. Demon creatures, bound with electrum chains, writhed and flopped and gurgled in their cells. But there was more, much more. The bodies of downworlders in different stages of death and dying. There were werewolves, their bodies half dissolved by silver powder. Vampires held head down in holy water until their skin peeled off the bones. Fairies whose skin had been pierced with cold iron. Even now I don't think of him as a torturer, not really. He seemed to be pursuing an almost scientific end. There were ledgers of notes by each cell door, meticulous recordings of his experiments, how long it had taken each creature to die. There was one vampire whose skin he had burned off over and over again to see if there was a point beyond which the poor creature could no longer regenerate. It was hard to read what he had written without wanting to faint or throw up. Somehow, I did neither. There was one page devoted to experiments he had done on himself. He had read somewhere that the blood of demons might act as an amplifier of the power shadow hunters are naturally born with. He had tried injecting himself with the blood to no end. Nothing had happened except that he had made himself sick. Eventually, he came to the conclusion that he was too old for the blood to affect him, that it must be given to a child to take full effect, preferably one as yet unborn. Across from the page, recording those particular conclusions, he had written a series of notes with a heading I recognized. My name, Jocelyn Morgenstern. I remember the way my fingers shook while I turned the pages, the words burning themselves into my brain. Jocelyn drank the mixture again tonight. No visible changes in her. But again, it is the child that concerns me. With regular infusions of demonic ichor, such as I have been giving her, the child may be capable of any feats. Last night I heard the child's heartbeat, more strongly than any human heartbeat, the sound like a mighty bell, tolling the beginning of a new generation of shadow hunters, the blood of angels and demons mixed to produce powers beyond any previously imagined possible. No longer will the power of downworlders be the greatest on this earth. There was much, much more. I clawed at the pages, my fingers trembling, my mind racing back, seeing the mixtures Valentine had given me to drink each night, the nightmares about being stabbed, choked, poisoned. But I wasn't the one he'd been poisoning. It was Jonathan. Jonathan, whom he'd turned into some kind of half-demon thing. And that, Clary, that was when I realized what Valentine really was. Clary let out the breath she hadn't realized she'd been holding. It was horrible. So horrible. And yet it all matched up with the vision Ethereal had showed her. She wasn't sure whom she felt more pity for, her mother or Jonathan. Jonathan. She couldn't think of him as Jace. Not with her mother there. Not with the story so fresh in her mind. Doomed to be not quite human by a father who'd cared more about murdering downworlders than he had about his own family. But you didn't leave then, did you? Clary asked, her voice sounding small to her ears. You stayed. For two reasons, Jocelyn said. One was the uprising. What I found in the cellar that night was like a slap in the face. It woke me up out of my misery and made me see what was going on around me. Once I realized what Valentine was planning, the wholesale slaughter of downworlders, I knew I couldn't let it happen. I began meeting in secret with Luke. I couldn't tell him what Valentine had done to me and to our child. I knew it would just drive him mad, that he'd be unable to stop himself from trying to hunt down Valentine and kill him, and he'd only get himself killed in the process. And I couldn't let anyone else know what had been done to Jonathan either. Despite everything, he was still my child. But I did tell Luke about the horrors in the cellar, of my conviction that Valentine was losing his mind, becoming progressively more insane. Together, we planned to thwart the uprising. I felt driven to do it, Clary. It was a sort of expiation, the only way I could make myself feel like I had paid for the sin of ever having joined the circle, of having trusted Valentine, of having loved him. And he didn't know, Valentine, I mean? He didn't figure out what you were doing? Jocelyn shook her head. When people love you, they trust you. Besides, at home I tried to pretend everything was normal. I behaved as though my initial revulsion at the sight of Jonathan was gone. I would bring him over to Mayris Lightwood's house, let him play with her baby son, Alec. Sometimes Celine Herondale would join us. She was pregnant by that time. Your husband is so kind, she would tell me. He is so concerned about Stephen and me. He gives me potions and mixtures for the health of the baby. They are wonderful. Oh, said Clary. Oh, my God. That's what I thought, said Jocelyn grimly. I wanted to tell her not to trust Valentine or to accept anything he gave her, but I couldn't. Her husband was Valentine's closest friend, and she would have betrayed me to him immediately. I kept my mouth shut, and then... She killed herself, said Clary, remembering the story. But was it because of what Valentine did to her? Jocelyn shook her head. I honestly don't think so. Stephen was killed in a raid, and she slit her wrists when she found out the news. She was 8 months pregnant. She bled to death. She paused. Hodge was the one who found her body, and Valentine actually did seem distraught over their deaths. He vanished for almost an entire day afterward, and came home bleary-eyed and staggering.
And yet, in a way, I was almost grateful for his distraction. At least it meant he wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. Every day, I became more and more frightened that Valentine would discover the conspiracy and try to torture the truth out of me. Who was in our secret alliance? How much had I betrayed of his plans? I wondered how I would withstand torture, whether I could hold up against it. I was terribly afraid that I couldn't. I resolved, finally, to take steps to make sure that this never happened. I went to Fel with my fears, and he created a potion for me. The potion from the Book of the White, Clary said, realizing. That's why you wanted it. And the antidote. How did it wind up in the Wayland's library? I hid it there one night during a party, said Jocelyn with the trace of a smile. I didn't want to tell Luke. I knew he'd hate the whole idea of the potion, but everyone else I knew was in the circle. I sent a message to Ragnar, but he was leaving Idris and wouldn't say when he'd be back. He said he could always be reached with a message, but who would send it? Eventually, I realized there was one person I could tell, one person who hated Valentine enough that she'd never betray me to him. I sent a letter to Madeline explaining what I planned to do, and that the only way to revive me was to find Ragnar Fell. I never heard a word back from her, but I had to believe she had read it and understood. It was all I had to hold on to. Two reasons, Clary said. You said there were two reasons that you stayed. One was the uprising. What was the other? Jocelyn's green eyes were tired, but luminous and wide. Clary, she said, can't you guess? The second reason is that I was pregnant again. Pregnant with you. Oh, Clary said in a small voice. She remembered Luke saying she was carrying another child and had known it for weeks. But didn't that make you want to run away even more? Yes, Jocelyn said, but I knew I couldn't. If I'd run away from Valentine, he would have moved heaven and hell to get me back. He would have followed me to the ends of the earth because I belonged to him, and he would never have let me go. And maybe I would have let him come after me and taken my chances, but I would never have let him come after you. She pushed her hair back from her tired-looking face. There was only one way I could make sure he never did, and that was for him to die. Clary looked at her mother in surprise. Jocelyn still looked tired, but her face was shining with a fierce light. I thought he'd be killed during the uprising, she said. I couldn't have killed him myself. I couldn't have brought myself to, somehow. But I never thought he'd survive the battle. And later, when the house burned, I wanted to believe he was dead. I told myself over and over that he and Jonathan had burned to death in the fire. But I knew... Her voice trailed off. It was why I did what I did. I thought it was the only way to protect you, taking your memories, making you into as much of a mundane as I could, hiding you in the mundane world. It was stupid. I realize that now. Stupid and wrong. And I'm sorry, Clary. I just hope you can forgive me. If not now, then in the future. Mom, Clary cleared her throat. She'd felt like she was about to cry for pretty much the last 10 minutes. It's okay. It's just, there's one thing I don't get. She nodded her fingers into the material of her coat. I knew already a little of what Valentine did to Jace. I mean, to Jonathan. But the way you described Jonathan, it's like he was a monster. And, Mom, Jace isn't like that. He is nothing like that. If you knew him, if you could just meet him. Clary. Jocelyn reached out and took Clary's hand in hers. There's more I have to tell you. There's nothing more that I hid from you or lied about. But there are things I never knew, things I only just discovered, and they may be very hard to hear. Worse than what you've already told me? Clary thought. She bit her lip and nodded. Go ahead and tell me. I'd rather know. When Dorothea told me that Valentine had been sighted in the city, I knew he was there for me, for the cup. I wanted to flee, but I couldn't bring myself to tell you why. I don't blame you at all for running from me that awful night, Clary. I was just glad you weren't there when your father, when Valentine and his demons broke into our apartment. I just had time to swallow the potion.
I could hear them breaking the door down.
She trailed off, her voice tight.
I hoped Valentine would leave me for dead, but he didn't. He brought me to Renwick's with him. He tried various methods to wake me up, but nothing worked. I was in a sort of dream state. I was half conscious that he was there, but I couldn't move or respond to him. I doubt he thought I could hear or understand him. And yet he would sit by the bed while I slept and talk to me.
Talk to you? About what?
About our past, our marriage, how he had loved me and I had betrayed him, how he hadn't loved anyone since. I think he meant it, too, as much as he could mean these things. I had always been the one he'd talked to about the doubts he had, the guilt he felt, and in the years since I'd left him, I don't think there'd ever been anyone else. I think he couldn't stop himself from talking to me, even though he knew he shouldn't. I think he just wanted to talk to someone. You'd have thought that what was on his mind would be what he'd done to those poor people, making them forsaken, and what he was planning to do to the Clave. But it wasn't. What he wanted to talk about was Jonathan.
What about him?
Jocelyn's mouth tightened. He wanted to tell me he was sorry for what he'd done to Jonathan before he'd been born, because he knew it had nearly destroyed me. He'd known I was close to suicide over Jonathan, though he didn't know I was also despairing over what I'd discovered about him. He'd somehow gotten hold of angel blood. It's an almost legendary substance for shadowhunters. Drinking it is supposed to give you incredible strength. Valentine had tried it on himself and discovered that it gave him not just increased strength, but a feeling of euphoria and happiness every time he injected it into his blood. So he took some, dried it to powder, and mixed it into my food, hoping it would help my despair. I know where he got hold of angel blood, Clary thought, thinking of Ithuriel with a sharp sadness.
Do you think it worked at all?
I do wonder now if that was why I suddenly found the focus and the ability to go on, and to help Luke thwart the uprising. It would be ironic if that was the case, considering why Valentine did it in the first place. But what he didn't know was that while he was doing this, I was pregnant with you. So while it may have affected me slightly, it affected you much more. I believe that's why you can do what you can with runes.
And maybe, Clary said, why you can do things like trap the image of the mortal cup in a tarot card, and why Valentine can do things like take the curse off Hodge.
Valentine has had years of experimenting on himself in a myriad of ways, said Jocelyn. He's as close now as a human being, a shadow hunter, can get to a warlock. But nothing he can do to himself would have the kind of profound effect on him it would have had on you or Jonathan, because you were so young. I'm not sure anyone's ever before done what Valentine did. Not to a baby before it was born.
So Jace, Jonathan and I really were both experiments.
You were an unintentional one. With Jonathan, Valentine wanted to create some kind of super warrior, stronger and faster and better than other shadow hunters. At Renwick's, Valentine told me that Jonathan really was all those things, but that he was also cruel and immoral and strangely empty. Jonathan was loyal enough to Valentine. But I suppose Valentine realized that somewhere along the way, in trying to create a child who was superior to others, he'd created a son who could never really love him. Clary thought of Jace, of the way he'd looked at Renwick's, the way he'd clutched that piece of the broken portal so hard that blood had run down his fingers.
No, she said. No and no. Jace is not like that. He does love Valentine. He shouldn't, but he does. And he isn't empty. He's the opposite of everything you're saying.
Jocelyn's hands twisted in her lap. They were laced all over with fine white scars, the fine white scars all shadow hunters bore, the memory of vanished marks. But Clary had never really seen her mother's scars before. Magnus's magic had always made her forget them. There was one, on the inside of her mother's wrist, that was very like the shape of a star. Her mother spoke then, and all thoughts of anything else fled from Clary's mind. I am not, Jocelyn said, talking about Jace.
But, Clary said, everything seemed to be happening very slowly, as if she were dreaming. Maybe I am dreaming, she thought. Maybe my mother never woke up at all, and all of this is a dream. Jace is Valentine's son. I mean, who else could he be? Jocelyn looked straight into her daughter's eyes. The night Celine Herondale died, she was 8 months pregnant. Valentine had been giving her potions, powders. He was trying on her what he'd tried on himself with Ethereal's blood, hoping that Stephen's child would be as strong and powerful as he suspected Jonathan would be, but without Jonathan's worse qualities. He couldn't bear that his experiment would go to waste, so with Hodge's help he cut the baby out of Celine's stomach. She'd only been dead a short time. Clary made a gagging noise.
That isn't possible.
Jocelyn went on as if Clary hadn't spoken. Valentine took that baby and had Hodge bring it to his own childhood home, in a valley not far from Lake Lynn. It was why he was gone all that night. Hodge took care of the baby until the uprising. After that, because Valentine was pretending to be Michael Wayland, he moved the child to the Wayland Manor and raised him as Michael Wayland's son.
So Jace, Clary whispered, Jace is not my brother?
She felt her mother squeeze her hand, a sympathetic squeeze.
No, Clary, he's not.
Clary's vision darkened. She could feel her heart pounding in separate, distinct beats. My mom feels sorry for me, she thought distantly. She thinks this is bad news. Her hands were shaking.
Then whose bones were those in the fire?
Luke said there were a child's bones. Jocelyn shook her head. Those were Michael Wayland's bones, and his son's bones. Valentine killed them both and burned their bodies. He wanted the Clave to believe that both he and his son were dead.
Then Jonathan...
is alive, said Jocelyn, pain flashing across her face. Valentine told me as much at Renwick's. Valentine brought Jace up in the Wayland Manor, and Jonathan in the house near the lake. He managed to divide his time between the two of them, traveling from one house to the other, sometimes leaving one or both alone for long periods of time. It seems that Jace never knew about Jonathan, though Jonathan may have known about Jace. They never met, though they probably lived only miles from each other.
And Jace doesn't have demon blood in him? He's not cursed?
Cursed? Jocelyn looked surprised. No, he doesn't have demon blood. Clary, Valentine experimented on Jace when he was a baby with the same blood he used on me, on you. Angel blood. Jace isn't cursed. The opposite, if anything. All shadow hunters have some of the angel's blood in them. You two just have a bit more. Clary's mind whirled. She tried to imagine Valentine raising two children at the same time, one part demon, one part angel. One shadow boy, and one light. Loving them both, perhaps as much as Valentine could love anything. Jace had never known about Jonathan, but what had the other boy known about him? His complementary part, his opposite. Had he hated the thought of him? Yearned to meet him? Been indifferent? They had both been so alone. And one of them was her brother, her real, full-blooded brother.
Do you think he's still the same? Jonathan, I mean? Do you think he could have gotten better?
I don't think so, Jocelyn said gently.
But what makes you so sure?
Clary spun to look at her mother, suddenly eager.
I mean, maybe he's changed. It's been years. Maybe...
Valentine told me he had spent years teaching Jonathan how to appear pleasant, even charming. He wanted him to be a spy, and you can't be a spy if you terrify everyone you meet. Jonathan even learned a certain ability to cast slight glamours, to convince people he was likable and trustworthy. Jocelyn sighed. I'm telling you this so you won't feel bad that you were taken in. Clary, you've met Jonathan. He just never told you his real name, because he was posing as someone else. Sebastian Verloc. Clary stared at her mother.
But he's the Penhallow's cousin,
part of her mind insisted. But of course, Sebastian had never been who he'd claimed he was. Everything he'd said had been a lie. She thought of the way she'd felt the first time she'd seen him, as if she were recognizing someone she'd known all her life, someone as intimately familiar to her as her own self. She had never felt that way about Jace.
Sebastian's my brother?
Jocelyn's fine-boned face was drawn, her hands laced together. Her fingertips were white, as if she were pressing them too hard against one another.
I spoke to Luke for a long time today about everything that's happened in Alicante since you arrived. He told me about the Demon Towers and his suspicion that Sebastian had destroyed the wards, though he had no idea how. I realized then who Sebastian really was.
You mean because he lied about being Sebastian Verloc? And because he's a spy for Valentine?
Those two things, yes, said Jocelyn. But it actually wasn't until Luke said that you'd told him Sebastian dyed his hair that I guessed.
And I could be wrong, but a boy just a little older than you,
fair-haired and dark-eyed, with no apparent parents, utterly loyal to Valentine, I couldn't help but think he must be Jonathan. And there's more than that. Valentine was always trying to find a way to bring the wards down, always determined that there was a way to do it. Experimenting on Jonathan with demon blood, he said it was to make him stronger, a better fighter, but there was more to it than that.
Clary stared. What do you mean, more to it?
It was his way of bringing down the wards, Jocelyn said. You can't bring a demon into Alicante, but you need demon's blood to take down the wards.
Jonathan has demon blood. It's in his veins.
And his being a shadow hunter means he's granted automatic entrance to the city whenever he wants to get in, no matter what. He used his own blood to take the wards down. I'm sure of it. Clary thought of Sebastian standing across from her in the grass near the ruins of Fairchild Manor. The way his dark hair had blown across his face. The way he'd held her wrists, his nails digging into her skin. The way he'd said it was impossible that Valentine had ever loved Jace. She'd thought it was because he hated Valentine. But it wasn't, she realized. He'd been jealous. She thought of the dark prince of her drawings. The one who had looked so much like Sebastian. She had dismissed the resemblance as coincidence, a trick of imagination. But now she wondered if it was the tie of their shared blood that had driven her to give the unhappy hero of her story her brother's face. She tried to visualize the prince again, but the image seemed to shatter and dissolve before her eyes, like ash blown away on the wind. She could only see Sebastian now, the red light of the burning city reflected in his eyes.
Jace, she said. Someone has to tell him. Has to tell him the truth.
Her thoughts tumbled over themselves, helter-skelter. If Jace had known he didn't have demon blood, maybe he wouldn't have gone after Valentine. If he'd known he wasn't Clary's brother after all. But I thought, said Jocelyn, with a mixture of sympathy and puzzlement, that nobody knew where he was. Before Clary could answer, the double doors of the hall swung open, spilling light over the pillared arcade and the steps below it. The dull roar of voices, no longer muffled, rose as Luke came through the doors. He looked exhausted, but there was a lightness about him that hadn't been there before. He seemed almost relieved. Jocelyn rose to her feet. Luke, what is it? He took a few steps toward them, then paused between the doorway and the stairs.
Jocelyn, he said. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right, Luke. Even through her daze, Clary thought, why do they keep saying each other's names like that? There was a sort of awkwardness between them now, an awkwardness that hadn't been there before. Is something wrong? He shook his head.
No. For a change, something's right.
He smiled at Clary, and there was nothing awkward about it. He looked pleased with her, and even proud.
You did it, Clary. He said. The Claves agreed to let you mark them. There will be no surrender after all.
Chapter 18. Hail and Farewell. The valley was more beautiful in reality than it had been in Jace's vision. Maybe it was the bright moonlight silvering the river that cut across the green valley floor. White birch and aspen dotted the valley's sides, shivering their leaves in the cool breeze. It was chilly up on the ridge, with no protection from the wind. This was, without a doubt, the valley where he'd last seen Sebastian. Finally, he was catching up. After securing Wayfarer to a tree, Jace took the bloody thread from his pocket and repeated the tracking ritual, just to be sure. He closed his eyes, expecting to see Sebastian, hopefully somewhere very close by, maybe even still in the valley. Instead, he saw only darkness. His heart began to pound. He tried again, moving the thread to his left fist and awkwardly carving the tracking rune onto the back of it with his right, less agile hand. He took a deep breath before closing his eyes this time.